everybody, and welcome back to another episode of Hard Truth with myself, David Vance, and Alana Mercer. Good evening, Alana.
Hi, David. Good to see you.
Good to see you as well, Alana. And as ever, we are not short of topics to discuss, such as the kind of lunatic world that that we live in. And I think tonight, hopefully for those who are watching or listening to this, we've got a couple of stories from either side of the Atlantic, I think, in the sense of we've got some sort of breaking election news from the United States. And over here in the West, we have the COP26 most important conference in the history of the universe to have a laugh at. So those are the things we are going to have a bit of a chat about, Alana. But before we get into that, suffice to say, again, a big thank you to all of the people, especially on Rumble, you guys. We appreciate your views of our weekly chats, and indeed those people who listen to it over in the podcast channel and indeed in the other video channels. Alana and I really appreciate it. And if you can also share the podcast or the videos, that's great, because then more people get to hear a view. I think, Alana, you know, one of the things that we try to do is, we keep saying this, but it's worth saying, we live at a time when there's so much misinformation and falsity and spin, and all we've ever tried to do, and I think the conversations you and I have, is to put a little perspective and accuracy, even if it is a hard truth. We try to do that, don't we?
Hard truth. And I was hoping you would tell us Americans, we did not see our president embarrass himself with a pope. I was hoping you would reveal that, because the malfunctioning progressive media hid the fact of the failure, how should we put it delicately, the failure of American Depends, maybe a supply issue. You just threw that bomb, behind
the most authentic president in the history of the universe, which of course Joe Biden is, did visit the Pope. I think it was last Friday, Alana. I think right about then he popped into Rome to have a visit, him and his 85 car cavalcade through the cities of the
eternal. How environmental and is that, and how considerate it is to the people of Rome?
Absolutely, yeah. But anyway, the story goes, this side of the Atlantic anyway, that whilst having his important tete-a-tete with His Holiness, he had, let's call it, a bathroom misadventure. I can't describe the details, because this would be an X-rated channel, Alana Mercer, and we can't have that. So, but anyway,
why not?
Well, of course, there's no photographic evidence of it, but apparently, it wouldn't surprise me. Nothing surprises me about Joe Biden.
The power of American media and the power of disinformation or lack of it is amazing, because it's the first I hear.
Well, you know, the thing is actually that, like, the thing about Biden is that, and it actually segues us nicely into the first topic, which is, you know, I mean, he did win the 2020 presidential election with, what is it, 80 million, 81 million votes, whatever it is, the biggest vote ever obtained by an American president, a stunning victory over Orange Man Bad. So we did that. So Alana, I'm going to ask you a question. You see, because he's obviously massively popular, and the mainstream media tell us that, so I'm not going to question them. So I understand that there were a couple of elections happening stateside, one particularly in Virginia and the other in New Jersey. I know there's been a few others, including in Seattle, actually.
In Seattle, it seems that we have a Republican attorney for the city. That hasn't happened for decades.
But I don't understand.
Very unusual. Very unusual.
How can this be? Because Biden's so popular. So I'm going to guess that in Virginia, Terry McAuliffe, a former bag carrier for the Clintons, if I remember correctly, Alana, big wig in the DNC circles.
An
absolute swamp creature. So obviously, given Biden's popularity, which the media keep telling us about it, I assume Terry McAuliffe won. Am I right or am I wrong?
Well, the liberal media, it was quite fascinating. Even Fox News, which is quite careful and pretty meticulous about reporting the results, called the election for Glenn Youngkin, the Republican local gentleman, delightful fellow. But I watched Rachel Maddow. They're not calling it. I think they called it about at 12 a.m., by which time it was 3 hours after the more honest media had called the election. CNN took quite a while. So do they go through the process of grief? I'm not sure. Now, the margin of victory is 75,000 in a totally Democratic state. I'm always shocked afresh because Virginia is... For you and I who live in the past, you know, we love our founding documents. You love your Magna Carta. Yep. But, you know, Virginia is just such a rich, rich state. The greatest founders came from there, the greatest documents written from Virginia. And now we have to accept that for decades it's been Democratic. So, apparently, 75,000 is quite a victory for the Republican, and that was a harbinger of things to come for the midterm, probably, and hopefully for 2024 for the presidential election. However, do the Republicans? He ran very much on a local campaign of education, mm-hmm. mainly. Do the Republicans seize the bull by the horns and actually do what they promised? Does he ban critical race theory? Let's see. I'll have a hard time believing these people have the male bits to do anything. But
yeah, because actually critical race theory was an issue in this particular election, wasn't it? I mean, you and I have covered it loads.
Yeah, small things like teaching white children how to get depressed, how to... live with the idea that the teacher tells you you are intrinsically bad because of the pigment burden you carry. Oh, yeah, that didn't go down very well. And in the district of Loudoun, I think it was a very controversial liberal place near D.C., there was a minor issue of a rape of a young girl, 14-year-old, by a boy wearing skirts. And I hope you have no objection to that, David. I know you have your blind spots about those sort of things. So, yeah, I think and, of course, McAuliffe told parents that they had no say in their children's education. So there was a groundswell, and hopefully these are things that really the right and the left can come together over. But I'm the eternal pessimist, so I'm not sure what longevity this has. What do you think, watching it from across the pond?
Well, I mean, I saw when it came to McAuliffe's campaign, I saw Biden was there. Kamala mm-hmm. made a rare appearance in public. We had Obama. They all went. They all appeared. And yes. He still lost. So one of the delights for me in this is that it says to me that the Clinton, the whole Clinton thing, it's worth nothing in 2020.
The Clinton click.
Yeah, it's just gone. So I was really pleased to see the McAuliffe defeated. It was good. Like yourself, you got to ask yourself, will the Republican Party follow through? And it's interesting.
That's a very good point, David. You make that it was nationalized by the Democrats on these issues, on these highly abstract issues like critical race theory, gender fluidity, you know, all that stuff, which is highly abstracted. And really, one could argue, as I argue in many of my columns about these things, that these are artificial constructs that actually rape reality. So, you know, the Democrats ran a campaign on these highly abstracted concepts that relate to people's daily life, not at all, except that they make certain mm-hmm. children very, very miserable, depressed. In fact, they even have an initiative across the country to declare giftedness a white racist thing. So you can imagine what a dump of a country, what a shithole, as Trump would have said. America is hit when you actually malign giftedness. So that was all on the cards. They nationalized the campaign, and that, as you point out, David, that had no impact whatsoever.
Yeah, but for me, then the next most interesting thing that's happening, and I don't think this one has been called, is what's happening in New Jersey. In New Jersey, I think the race, which is a solid Democrat state, absolutely, totally blue, but it appears to be running very, very close. I don't have any the latest figures. Have you got anything there, Alana?
No, I don't. I think he was running, what is the gentleman's name? An accountant, very presentable man. Chiarelli, I'm not quite sure. Italian. I think he was running 1,000 votes ahead, but the exact numbers now, I'm not sure. That will certainly be an overturn there if that happens.
I think even if he doesn't win and it's so close, it shouldn't be so close in New Jersey. It really shouldn't be, because I'm sure they are masters. The Democrats are masters in many states of being able to, let's put it euphemistically, pull the right levers. But it's not. So if I was them, I'd be really, losing Virginia is one thing, but to be running so close in New Jersey is surely, again, as you say, Alana, a very disturbing portent for what happens in the midterms and then obviously the 24 election. So do you think this would give the Democrats pause for thought from their narrative?
Or do you think they keep on going to look at their strategy? In fact, I had a friend, a liberal friend, write to me to say, you don't like, she knows my politics, my writings, and she asked me quite alarmed, you don't like Brandon, I was going to say, let's go Brandon. You don't like Biden? Thank God we got rid of Trump. So that really is their strategy. And when liberals watched the mainstream media, the malfunctioning media, the progressive media lacking in any ethics because they do not report the news. When we went to journalism school, it was very clear what you reported. You reported what was happening on the ground. So they've taken it to an ideological level. What they do, once again, they are running on the Trump card, you know.
Yeah, the anti-Trump card,
We're rid of Trump. There are a couple of investigations going on, and nobody cares about that. Absolutely nobody. But this fills our media, CNN, MSNBC, ABC. This fills the media. We do not hear about tens of thousands of people walking off the jobs. The airline says it's because of weather that affects only one airline. A very curious design flaw in their airplanes because of vaccine mandates. In my state, I can't go to a restaurant. By the way, you had an interesting tidbit that Candace Owens thinks she's the only one who has survived.
Tell us about that. Yeah, let's just divert into Candace for a moment. I wonder, can we bring up the her comment? Yeah, there you go. Candace says, I'm still unvaccinated. I survived the greatest psychological fear in history. I chose to operate at a frequency above fear. I can't read any more of that nonsense.
Well, I'm pointing to I, Caligula.
Yeah.
No.
Yep. We say it the same.
Caesar, yeah. So it's not about Candace Owens. It's about this is affecting so many people. And Candace Owens, and thankfully, you know, it's going to affect my household as well. But I won't say I have survived that. But we can better weather being laid off, even though, okay, I'll share personal. If you don't share personal, what is it worth? What is this whole broadcast worth? My husband contracts from home. He never goes into the office, but just because they can. You know, the company has been colluding, perfect lickspittles to the Biden administration, colluding Quislings. But just because they can, they will lay off people. The cutoff is December 8th if you haven't had your vaccine, even if you are working from home and do not need to go into the office. So, of course, people like Candace, and of course I'm not in her league, but we can better weather things than tens of thousands of first responders. Let's talk about them walking off the job heroically, nurses, pilots, air hostesses, on and on. So it's not about iCanvas or my situation. Yeah. But yeah, it is. Yeah. It is enveloping. And David, I just asked our wonderful producer, if you have vaccine mandates, I can't go to a restaurant in my county in Washington State.
Yeah, which is shock. I mean, it's tyrannical. We don't really have that in the UK yet. But that's not to say we won't have it. I mean, for example, you mentioned people losing their jobs. There's all those people who work in care homes, which is a pretty tough job. I mean, these are real kind of working class people doing a job which I wouldn't want to do. They've got to next week, or 60,000 of them will lose their job. They have to be double jabbed or they are out. And at the same time as that bit of mandatory was coming in, it's speculated that the exact same mythology will apply to the NHS. And again, we could have 100,000 plus people booted out. Nurses, the people
who were... And these people, David, have done their job satisfactorily. Yeah. They've been called heroes. They haven't infected anyone. In fact, they probably are more at risk than anybody.
I agree. Yeah.
Because they haven't received this magnificent hemlock. So, and now they're going to be told if you don't obey. It's about singling out indirectly, you know, a certain cohort of independent-minded Americans. That's what it's all about, isolating them.
Yeah, well, I think
this was the feeling in, to connect it to the elections, this was the feeling when the Attorney General, no less, declared parents to be of interest to the FBI. That sort of settled as like a pall, a menacing pall on Virginia, and I think that certainly had an influence on the election.
It certainly shows to me these results, Alana, as the way out, that there seems to have been a resurgence amongst the Republican voters. Not sure where the Democrat voters are. Biden obviously doesn't enthuse anybody. What he's done in 10 months has not motivated anybody. And that's only after 10 months. I mean, I keep seeing things about, this is something you would know, the price of petrol in the US has like gone through the roof, hasn't it, from the sounds of it, from January on, which is directly attributable to friend Biden, is it not, and his closing.
Yes, and we can segue into your topic, the COP26 that you hosted in Glasgow.
Yeah, well, you see, this is the thing. If you think that these things are all linked, so much is linked, they don't operate in silos, really. So COP26 is the name, the convergence of the parties. It's basically the return gig from Paris 2015. So that's what it is. So it's a lot of the virtue signaling Western countries shredding their clothes in an act of contrition for all the badness that they've done by being part of the Industrial Revolution. So at COP26, sponsored by the UK, to its shame. They brought a lot of these countries together to pledge to save the planet and to ensure, Alana, that we keep carbon, CO2 emissions to under 1.5 degrees by the end of the century. Now, interestingly, that's from the turn of the Industrial Revolution. It's already gone up 1.1. I think as Jed got a picture here, which amused me. If Jed, bring up Flop 26. That's probably a better logo if you have it. If we can. There we go. Flop 26. Who needs COP 26? This is Flop 26. Except it maybe isn't going to be a flop, because already we saw today a pledge, Alana. Here's an economic one for you. A pledge that 40% of investments, total global investments, will be directed the way of the Green New Deal and all that kind of stuff, which is, to my mind, economic suicide. But anyway, they're all lining up to virtue signal. Canada's there. Obviously, Biden was there. Admittedly, he did fall asleep. But hey, you know, you got to give him a break, Alana.
Well, it's fitting. It's fitting. Absolutely fitting response to that.
It was, yeah, actually, yeah.
I'm an environmentalist. I certainly am, and when I look at this, it really is alarming how stupid these people, because the more efficient the source of energy, it's very simple, the less waste and pollution is involved in bringing it, in converting it to energy and bringing it to market. And gasoline is a glorious resource. I mean, I'm reading here from an old column of mine, drilling for oil is the second most efficient, cheapest, and hence cleanest source of energy. It requires only a narrow hole in the earth, not a whole desert where you kill animals to put up these wind farms, and you decimate entire ecosystems. It is extracted in a highly concentrated form of energy, and it is up to 1,000 times more efficient than solar energy, which requires large panels, etc., and is less in a less concentrated form of energy. So the more efficient the source of energy, the less waste and pollution are involved in conversion to energy. So it's the totality of the production process that has to be looked at, and the fewer resources expended. I mean, whether it's trucking, whether it's rare earth metal mining, which is all done in China. Chinese farming cannot farm and cannot drink the waters because of the rare metal, what are they called? I have it somewhere here. Rare earth metals for their Priuses. Let's see.
Yeah, for the cars. Yeah.
Yes, you buy a Prius car, and this was PBS News. This is from PBS News, which is the equivalent of BBC, which is state run and used to do. This is 10 years ago. The information used to do good news and honest news. Each motor contains a kilo of neodymium, some toxin, and each battery more than 10 kilos of another rare earth metal. To make those permanent magnets used to manufacture 3-megawatt turbine contains some 2 tons of rare earth metals. And mining these rare earth metals for these so-called environmental technologies is all done in Inner Mongolia, China. And you go there and you listen to the farmers, the limousine liberals, the Learjet liberals, they don't give a damn about these industries are destroying. In fact, it's kind of poetic that China, of course, it's a huge polluter, but it didn't attend because it is actually producing all these feel-good industries that are not good for the planet. Here's a quote here. I have local villagers whose farmland has been ruined by seepage. They say rare earth is the country's resource. They know China speaks openly about providing the West with these rare earth metals. But small people like us, this is a Chinese farmer, need to eat too. We live on farming, but the crops no longer grow and we go hungry. And the water, not even the animals can drink. Yeah. So these are quintessential, not in my backyard, environmentalists. I'm an environmentalist. Right. Yeah. Yeah. I've read how clean gasoline is compared to this awfulness.
No, absolutely right. Yeah, but this is the thing that the people at this conference are making, and they will make laws. It's going to affect all of us. Everyone listening to this, watching this, we're all going to pay a price probably over the next 10, 20 years, whereby, well, for example, going back to the financial aspect, by forcing large corporations to invest in sustainable green type projects, by doing that, that will have by definition a lower rate of return. So people who are expecting these funds to provide them with pension funds for their old age are going to be in for one hell of a shock, because that's not happening. And Alana, you mentioned the batteries, the whole thing, because Boris Johnson has declared by 35, no more petrol, no more diesel cars, all electric by then. We don't have an infrastructure to support it. And get this, Alana, and this is just the UK, so I don't know how it works. If everybody driving a car in the UK today was driving an electric car tomorrow, just in the UK population, that would consume the entire world's deposits of cobalt and lithium. That's the UK. But
really?
We're only 70 million. So this does not work. And surely people must see this, or do they not? I'm talking about the people, the great people deciding all this. The people arriving in their private jets, like Bill Gates and Jeff Bezos, who were in Glasgow town for the weekend. Do they not see this, do you think, or do they just not care?
I don't know, because this is well known. The byproducts of these green technologies are filthy, mm-hmm. and they are out of sight, out of mind. When you see someone, you get a good the hybrid technology is a feel good thing. You know, it feels good. You've bought a hybrid, but what you don't see also, you know, the thing doesn't just energy doesn't just come into being in the battery, right? It has to have a source of energy. So the source of energy is what determines how clean it is. Does it come from nuclear? Does it come from hydro energy? I mean, these people don't see the entire picture of the energy production and bringing it to market. So do I think they're stupid? In a way, yes. I mean, dirt rises to the top, doesn't it? So I do think they are the stupidest people. I don't know. What is your theory? They have to know about how filthy these industries are.
Either that or they're so narcissistic, they're so mm-hmm. wrapped up in themselves. I mean, I'll give you, for example, Prince Charles, he who will be the next King of England, he actually opened COP26. He was the first speaker. He actually had, amusingly, a Joe Biden falling upstairs moment when he went to go up on stage and he fell going upwards, a la Biden style, going up aircraft steps. But anyway, but there's Prince Charles, you know, patronizing the rest of the world, or how important it is that we change our lifestyles to something which he's not changing his lifestyle to. And again, Alana, there was 400 private jets arrived in Glasgow from people telling ordinary people, hey, you need to stop traveling. You need to stop flying around the world, you guys. But we do it. So I actually think it's more wicked than that. This is a level of elitists who essentially one rule for them and another for you and me and the people, I guess, watching and listening to us. And that annoys me no end.
I think they believe that their thought process, the thoughts they bring to the world, in fact, they're very shoddy thinkers. They haven't looked at the entire picture. They don't know much at all. But they think they're so precious that I think we discussed the point last on our last broadcast that the fact that they do pollute some is worth it, because they are such special and gifted people. And the gifts that they bestow on us, these Learjet liberals, we should call them, are such that it's the offset in some pollution, in some inconvenience.
Yeah. It's just amazing. The really remarkable thing is that this COP26, it started on Sunday. It's to go on for two more weeks. And there's all the fake theatrics.
It's not finished.
No, Alana. No, it's not. It's only starting. Now, of course, Biden's left with his entourage, and even Boris Johnson's gone back. But that means as the big political figures exit, all the lower levels who actually control so much of this, they'll make their decisions as to what impositions they'll impose on all of us. And, you know, so they play this game, and I'm sure you've seen it, these big UN events. I mean, the UN, oh, by the way, # defund the UN, please. Any day now would be good. It's gone on too long. I'd like to see it thrown out of Manhattan. That'd be a good start. They play this game. Oh, we mightn't be able to get a deal. Oh, it's going to be tough. It's going to be tough, Alana. Might be 1 minute to midnight. And then 1 minute to midnight, they get their little sorted deal, which they've planned all along anyway. So that's what, spoiler alert, what's going to happen here in a couple of weeks.
And you it'll think not that's be good underway, news.
I mean, it's all contrived. It's contrived, but the consequences aren't contrived. The consequences will mean that everyone's going to be much worse off. We're gonna live in a colder world. I mean, I'm not sure what the climate is like where you are, but here in the northern climes in which I live, it's not that warm. So having inefficient, I mean, you said it, Alana, perfectly earlier. You know, you want efficient energy. You want something that can provide you with heat when you need it. the formats of hate they're talking
and
about.
And the more efficient, the average person has to remember, think about what it takes to bring energy to market. The more efficient, the more targeted, 1,000 times more efficient than solar energy is gasoline. And it's clean. We've perfected the technology to such a degree that it's clean. The energy, Exxon is doing... I am all for finding them when they spill. Do whatever you have to. If they are becoming more like the tech companies in terms of filthying up our lives, fine. Do what you need to bring them to Neil. But with all the restrictions on refineries and on bringing more oil to market, they've done a smashing job with really flying amber policies that are against production.
But hydrocarbon companies like them will be starved of investment once they get their little deal here, which is it's already in the bag. They'll be starved of investment. So, ironically, Alana, it is interesting this that the more efficient the energy provider, the more they will be punished. Whereas those who the solar powered people, the wind turbine people, I have to say, I like you, I want to see our planet as clean and green as possible. I want all those things. But
yes, David, tell me, what is your theory? Why don't they address the plastic? There are. I follow plastic. I hate plastic. I realize that it has had much benefit to our lives. It has, but there are really wonderful technologies that are completely dissolvable, plastic that is completely dissolvable. Where's the investment in that?
Well, that's right. Presumably there's no money in it for them. You know, I always say follow the money if you want to know where this leads. But you're right. The thing about the wind turbines, the way it slices, like some wonderful birds of prey smashed in those turbines. Defacing beautiful, there's not far from where I live, there's lovely mountains. Almost every mountain has got stupid turbines.
Defaced with this.
It's awful. Yeah.
Pockmarked with this ugly thing, and it devastates birds. It really does, and ecosystems when you put it in the desert, absolutely devastates the bird life. As someone who's owned by a parrot, I'm
yes, also, yes. We have to. Oscar will need to make Oscar Wood will
You're
need
an
to
Irishman.
Make,
He's called after make, one of your.
Oh,
great
I know. Friends. I get him. We'll
Oscar
need to make
Wilde.
He will have to make an appearance here on the platform. But yeah, I mean, so also, Alana, by the way, especially around the UK, we've got these wind turbine farms in the sea. So if you actually fly over from Ireland to England, you fly over and you look down because it's usually pretty clear, and all you see is these ugly things in the sea, and that must damage the seabed. So I think the people who preen as environmentalists, they're not environmentalists. I think they're cultists in a new age religion.
They're cultists. That's an excellent point, because whenever a forest is burning, they don't do anything. We love our forests in the Pacific Northwest. You know, it's just so breathtaking. It's beautiful to have these marvelous cedars just all around you. And they don't do anything to maintain the forest, to enable, you know, to make sure that there are barriers to fire and so on and so forth. What they do really, as you say, a cult, they look to the sky, and like primitive people of the ancient world, they say the gods are unhappy, climate change. It really is a form of paganism, because modern industrial Western man does things to prevent whole towns. 80 people died in some fires. More than 80 in one village in California was destroyed. I can't remember the name of the place. Beautiful place, just burned to the ground. But these people keep voting for the same politicians who don't want to maintain forests and who don't want to do anything but raise their eyes to the sky and say, the gods are angry, climate change.
I think that's a perfect summary of it. And again, like all cults, they've got little figureheads. We had Greta Thunberg. You know Greta?
Yes,
Thunberg,
yes.
The little Swede who rocked up. I don't know how she got across to London. I presume by hot air balloon. But she traveled from Sweden to London and from London up to Glasgow. And again, but, you know, like one of those little, you know, in the medieval times, they had these kind of figurehead, idiot savants, whatever you want to call it.
Philip's idiots.
Yeah, Philip, yeah. But they're very popular in the media, swanning all over her. And that's why I think, Alana, it's like a new age cult. And they use the words that we use. They'll talk about environmentalism, but they don't mean the things that you and I mean about protecting our forests, or, you know, about efficient energy and trying to do sensible things about.
I don't think they've ever been for hikes. All they do is you know, they have gyms properly accoutred for their needs. You know, they don't go into nature. They don't. It's people like us, the lower orders, that love nature and want the air to be clean and so on and so forth. Right.
Yeah. Well, I think, as I said, we've got another 2 weeks of it. So thank yourself. Lucky.
I thought that was finished. 3 days is enough.
No. 2 weeks of it. Oh, my God. We've had. So I'm not sure who else.
No super spreader warnings. Nothing for these people.
No. Funnily enough, apparently some of them wear masks and some of them don't. It's really strange. It's almost like COVID recognizes these are important people and won't attack them. Whereas, of course, for me and you, if you don't do those things and get your booster shot, Alana Mercer, get your booster, then you are your heretic. And that's the thing, actually. It is a new world age kind of religion, this cult of environmentalism, and we're the heretics. Because we actually care about the planet. It's truly, truly remarkable. But there you have it. Alana, we have reached the end of our appointed time. I think we have, I think Jed set up one last image, which I think we will play out on. Jed, if you want to just bring up a message from Joe Biden. Joe Biden to the Pope himself.
You didn't.
Oh, my God, Jed, how could you put that up there? Look, everybody. Thanks so much for being part of this with Alana and myself tonight. And we will hashtag poop cane our way out of here. And we'll be right back with you all being well next week. Thanks so much, everyone, for your support. And we'll speak with you soon. That's it from us for tonight. Good night.